Today I am reading John Deere, That's Who by Tracy Nelson Moore, illustrated by Tim Zeltner, except you can't see the illustrations either. Darn it, I hate when I do that. Back in John Deere's day, long before tractors and other newfangled contraptions, Americans dug up the land with the same kind of plow that farmers used as long as anyone could remember. The plow of the 1830s was surely less than perfect, but it worked. So who would want to change it? John Deere, that's who. But John didn't set out to build a new plow right away. He was another young blacksmith from Vermont, a hard-working one, mind you. His fine skills earned him buckets of praise. Still, times were tough, and folks sometimes failed to pay him. John's business struggled. Then a disaster struck. His forge burned to the ground. Of course, John rebuilt it. And then another fire. Soon he was out of cash and out of luck. Luck started to shine on him when he arrived in Grand Detour, Illinois. The little town needed a blacksmith to fix broken pots and pans, horseshoes and pitchforks, and shovels and plows. Lots of plows. John quickly built a forge. Smoke poured from the slow fire that burned from sunrise to sunset, and sometimes longer than that. That man was a workhouse, hammering red-hot iron to repair tools so that they were as good as new, even better than new. John also fixed Harmer's heavy iron plows again and again. Stubborn, twisted roots deep under the prairie banged up the iron blades. Even worse, the thick, rich soil the farmer called gumbo, in a not-so-nice way, stuck to their plows like gummy black snowballs. The farmers had to stop every so often to scrape the gumbo off with a paddle. That made a day's work take a lot longer. John heard the farmers complain again and again. "I reckon I'm cleaning that plow near every few steps. It's gonna take me forever and a day to take plow my claim. Oh, duh! This heavy plow wrenches the dickens out of my back." They were tuckered out. Some farmers talked about hightailing it back east, where the soil was sandy and easy to till. John didn't want to lose his customers. Truth be told, he missed his family, and he had a debt to pay. That's when John set his mind to building a better plow. He tried new plow angles. He studied how the gumbo clung to the tiny pits in the iron. It's a fair guess that John already knew the other plow designs that called for lightweight steel rather than heavy iron. But steel was rare that far west and way too pricey. That one day at the sawmill in 1837, John found a broken steel saw blade that he could take back to his smithy. There, John chiseled off the saw's teeth and cut the steel into the shape of a plow's blade. He curved it over a log so it would chug off soil. Then he polished the steel as shiny as his mother's sewing needles. Those needles could slip through calico like a hot knife through butter. Maybe a shiny plow would slice through gumbo. The town's families gathered at the local farmer's field to watch John test his gleaming self-polisher. They didn't expect much, but who amazed them all? John Deere, that's who. Stories of the day claimed he dug 12 rows, neat as you please. Many farmers were still leery. John built several plows for farmers to try in their own fields. Test after test, John's smooth steel plow cut so quickly and easily, it truly hummed down the rows. In some time, customers began asking for Mr. Deere's singing plow. All the while, John kept tinkering with a plow designed to keep his customers happy. Under his leadership, John's company sold tens of thousands of singing plows and other horse-drawn equipment. Farmers plowed the prairie soil faster than ever. They planted more than enough food for their families, selling the extra crops. Farming grew into a business, and then the prairie's fields of grain became known as America's breadbasket.
Breadbasket.
So, who changed the plow for America's farmers? Who changed the nation forever? John Deere, that's who. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day. Goodbye. One.